used. Bill Fitka, Fox News Radio.
Tropical Storm Alex has formed in the Western Caribbean. It is the first named storm of the 2010 Atlantic hurricane season. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says the storm has maximum sustained winds of about 40 miles an hour. It looks like Alex will move over the Yucatan Peninsula. It does not look like Alex will hit the area of the BP oil spill, but if it does,
efforts to capture the oil gushing from the bottom of the sea will be suspended for up to 2 weeks, and more crude could likely wash ashore.
Fox's Rick Leventhal on Grand Isle, Louisiana. 100 years ago, black heavyweight boxer Jack Johnson defeated the so-called Great White Hope, Jim Jeffries. Years later, Johnson was convicted of transporting a woman across state lines, something his fans say was soaked in racism. They'd like a presidential pardon now. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You've got it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, June 26, 2010. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast and traffic update. We'll start off with your weather forecast for today, which is for mostly clear conditions, clear and sunny by mid-afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. Your forecast for tonight is for partly cloudy conditions with lows around 51 degrees. Tomorrow calls for sunny conditions once again by mid-afternoon with highs again in the lower 70s. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, and west swells 3 to 5 feet every 8 seconds. Outside KSCO Studios, it's currently 57 degrees. We're now going to move on to traffic. Starting off in Santa Cruz County, southbound Highway 17, just south of Glenwood Drive at 952, a report of a traffic collision. No injuries involved. Tow truck now on scene. On the other side of the hill, we'll start off in San Jose. Things looking pretty good out there for right now. CHP only reporting one incident. This is on the southbound side of 101 near Story Road. We have a traffic collision with property damage reported at 10:02. The number to call in with your traffic tips is 475-1080. Coming up next, we have MZ and the Saturday Special.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Hey, Z. That was your cue.
How are you feeling today?
I'm all right.
May I ask you a personal question?
Sure. Why not?
Do you get a lot of dates because you're on the radio?
You know, that worked at one time when I was looking for dates, but now I have a little baby, and the last thing I need is a date. I don't have time for that stuff now.
Jeez. Oh, I see. But when you were looking, it was a definite plus. Is that right?
Definite plus.
So why is it that isn't such a thing as a radio dating service, like they have online dating service, and they have, you know, weekly newspaper, you know,
Are you looking for a date?
Well, thinking about it, but I'm always thinking out of the box. I'm always thinking about different ways of doing things. And why isn't there such a thing as a radio dating service? Maybe it just couldn't work. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. But personally, I'm looking for an older, rich woman.
Me too. Yeah. A younger, rich woman. I wouldn't mind a younger, rich woman. Quite a bit younger, actually.
You know, the younger ones, they have a lot of problems in their head. They still need to get straightened out.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. Yeah. A medium age.
The mature woman is the one for me.
By the way.
What
constitutes mature?
Someone who doesn't get caught up in all that stupid childish stuff like gossip and, you know, what the next person's doing. Someone who has their head straight and is looking forward and keeping their nose in their own business.
Oh, well, that could be some people of any age.
Yeah, it could be. But usually younger people tend to get all involved in everybody's business and gossip and all that stuff. I'm just not into that stuff.
Well, and that's good. That is definitely to your credit. I just couldn't help but think. I was thinking about innovative radio programs to do. And
hey, let's go down and do a live show from the nude beach. That would be great. I'll do that. I'll volunteer for
really?
That. Really? Yeah, sure.
Now, wait a second. Now, how could we do that? I mean, how could we get, well, I guess on a cell phone, and it wouldn't be very good audio quality, right?
Yeah, we'll just drive the van out there onto the beach.
And I did that in 1973.
Holy smokes.
I did that, and it was for TV. It was for the local cable TV station. I had a great job there. I've talked about it a time or two in the past. In 1973, I had a wonderful job making, I don't know, probably, if it wasn't minimum wage, it was very close to minimum wage back then. It was such a cool job. I would still be doing it now. 47 years. I don't know. What's the difference between 73, 83, 93, 2003? So that would be 37 years later. I would still be doing that job because it was so much fun, but I got laid off.
Oh.
And one of the things that I did was I went out to the nude beach with a video camera.
Ooh.
And the people were – I had the camera person film me from the waist up.
Thank
where
God.
Well, it wouldn't have been that bad back then. I mean, now saying thank God would be appropriate. But then, I was okay, But what happened was that I didn't want the people – I wanted the television viewers to think that I was nude myself. Then, we just didn't show below my waist. But the people we were filming were very upset because I did have my trousers on. I was just bare-chested,
Right.
And they got very, very upset, and they said they didn't want to be filmed unless I was, truly nude myself.
So they wanted to see you, too.
Yeah, because I figured, thinking about it, it's probably
it's only fair.
Only right. Yeah,
right.
It's only fair. So in any case, I have that. And by the way, on the ZBS Boss YouTube channel, if anybody's interested in seeing what what I looked like back then when I was 21, it's one of the videos.
Oh, my favorite videos on that channel are the one where you're singing that silly song, and then the one where you crash on your bicycle.
Right, I know you lie. That's your favorite one.
That one's
you
funny.
Played that so many times on the radio.
I just can't. You don't mind though, right? I mean, you put it up there for people to look at.
Did a play by play.
It's great.
But anyhow, yeah, there's a whole bunch of really cool, fun videos, and we should link it to the KSCO.com website. We will one of these days when we figure out how to do that. In fact, there's a lot of things we want to do with the KSCO.com website, not the least of which is have a Best of Monterey Bay or Best of KSCO Land, awards section where people vote for the best this and the best that, and then we award the best thises and the best thats to the companies that have been voted. Don't you think that would be cool?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Newspaper companies have been doing that for years, weekly newspapers. We should do it ourselves. And because, we all know that more people listen to KSCO than read all of the newspapers combined. We all know that, don't we?
Sure.
Absolutely. You know what I just realized we haven't done?
What?
Started the show.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, on KSVO Radio.
All right, last week we didn't know what we were going to be doing, and this week is no different. Last week it started out sort of slow, but it evolved into sort of a fun program and an interesting program, right, Dave?
Righto.
Yeah, and so I don't know. We're going to try it again, see what happens. If you want to call in and start driving the program yourself, the number is 479-1080 in area 831. It's your favorite radio station, the Saturday Special with MZ and Dave Michaels.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay. Now, what is this? What is this? It just started. What is that? It just started.
That's all, folks.
The computer is going crazy. It has a mind of its own. It won't stop. Oh, my God.
Oh, hello,
it's
darling.
It's not the second hour already.
I need to hang up.
Dave, how do I stop this? There, I just...
There you go.
All righty. This just in. Dear unemployed Mexican baby maker, thank you so much for coming in to our job search center for help. I admire you for trying, and since I see you have 6 kids, 3 of them under 18, I guess you must be desperate. And gosh, looking at your info, I see you're just 35 years old. 3 grandkids already? Congratulations. Let me do the math here. If you're 35 and have 3 kids over 18, that must mean you started when you were 14? And that poor cow, your wife, who's a year younger than you look, but looks 10 years older. Nice to meet you, Senora. If only you had heard about birth control or self-control or whatever it is you people don't believe in. Actually, it's education that you don't believe in, and it's spelled E-D-U-C-A-T-I-O-N, that you don't believe in. I see you have a sixth grade education. That's pretty good, considering a lot of your buddies who come here made it to just third or fourth grade. I've heard plenty of Mexicans say, I just want to work, unquote. But whatever I suggest, or whenever I suggest going back to school or taking ESL classes, I always get the same response. Quote, I'm too tired after work, unquote, or I'm too busy taking care of the kids, unquote. How about too lazy to improve your life? I've never met a group of people who only openly despise the concept of education more than Mexicans. I think that it's pointless. Well, I guess you know what matters most, how to make babies that we end up supporting. Nice to meet you. Good luck with your job search.
Holy moly, that was a... Who wrote that?
Someone named Loser.
That was extremely racist. Holy cow.
Yeah. So where did that come from?
It came from hostilities pent up towards Mexicans. Right now, MZ, do you feel that there's this push being, you know, especially in Arizona, but maybe here in California, too, where there's just this massive backlash against illegal immigrants, and that right there is a perfect perfect example. That kind of stuff is being said a lot more frequently
you're,
now.
You're right. You're right. And I don't know. I guess it's that people just don't know how to react except from their gut.
Right. It's understandable. You know, I had a conversation with Don Husing earlier. My grandfather was Mexican. You know, he was from this side of the border before it ever became America. He's been here for generations. He cannot stand people from the other side of the border, from down south. There is this, it's not just amongst white people, but also amongst, you know, Mexicans here from the United States. They harbor a lot of hostilities towards the Border Brothers as well.
Do you think we're headed in a real scary direction?
Potentially. There's a fork in the road, and we're at that, and I'm kind of nervous about which way we go.
Describe the fork.
The fork in the road is, it almost feels like there's this massive backlash. I hope that once all this is said and done, we'll know in about 10 years what this has done with the relations between Mexicans, you know, Mexican nationals and Americans over here, because they're here whether we like it or not. They come up here. I don't know if you read the paper, but there's one guy on the loose for murder. They cannot find him because he's in Mexico. I mean, they come here all the time. I don't know. It's frustrating as all heck.
Well, one of talk radio's favorite topics, I guess, is closing the border. And I should know the answer to this question, Dave, because I know that you and Nikki and you and Thomas have done programs on KSCO quite a bit. And I'm sure you've talked about this.
Right.
But what is your – and I missed it. What is your personal feeling about closing the border?
My personal feeling is that we have to shut that thing down. Personally, I would grant amnesty to the ones that are here, seal that border down. No more family members get through. And the ones that are here, you're going to have to go through a lot of paperwork and stuff. But I don't think that it'd be worth breaking up families in order to send these guys back, because I think that what you'll end up doing is building up a lot of hostilities towards the United States. And we don't need Mexicans acting like Muslims trying to blow us up. We don't need more trouble like that.
So, you know. And I see what you're saying. Amnesty. So amnesty, how? Just granting it? Because the president's talking about that right now.
George,
not going through the normal channels, whatever they are.
George Bush was talking about that, too, before 9/11. But once 9/11 happened, it kind of changed the game. But before 9/11, I remember that word being tossed around by the Bush administration, too.
Ronald Reagan actually did it, as I recall.
Really?
Yeah, 20-something years ago, he proclaimed amnesty. If you want to join in the conversation, give us a call at 479-1080. Dave thought that was a pretty racist thing that I just read.
I don't see how anybody could say that it wasn't racist. Did he say that Mexicans don't value education?
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually,
wow.
It's, yeah.
That's so unfair.
Whatever it is you people don't believe in. Actually, it's E-D-U-C-A-T-I-O-N that you don't believe in. I see you have a sixth grade education. That's pretty good considering a lot of your buddies who come up here, who come here, made it to just third or fourth grade.
I don't know. Maybe he got beat up by Mexicans one time. I don't know.
Maybe. Anyhow, that came from, guess where that came from?
Aptos.
I didn't mean the town.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, wow, that says a lot.
Well, we have some characters down there who are kind of hostile towards our friends from south of the border.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
I don't want to mention names.
Yeah. We can't make, it's not nice to mention names of banned people, huh?
Right.
From the radio station here. Okay, but that's why you said it, right? It wasn't because you think that, as a rule, people who live in Aptos tend to be less tolerant of other people.
People in Aptos are really cool. They're really laid back. Uh-huh. I think Santa Cruz is getting a reputation for some real uptight jerks. I don't know what happened or when it turned around, but there are some real uptight people in Santa Cruz now.
What makes you say that?
The whole point of view towards Mexicans, whether they're here illegal or not, and apparently everybody can tell just by looking at them that they're illegal and that they don't want to learn anything, that they have a bunch of babies. That and the homeless issue always just drives me crazy, man. It drives me crazy that people are so anti-homeless now, it seems like, around Santa Cruz, of all places, Santa Cruz. I can't believe it.
Do you think it's getting worse? You think it's changing? Hasn't it always been that way?
No, do you mean the attitude towards homeless people?
Yeah.
No, at one time, I don't think they were looked down on at all, but now they're just looked at as scum of the earth, and, you know, they should get out of town. Who cares where they go? And I don't know.
Maybe you've been hearing from your job at KSCO, where you hear a lot of callers to the station. Maybe that's the reason.
Well, that and I read, you know, the local newspapers, too, online editions and stuff like that, read the blogs. And, you know, there's a lot of hostilities out there towards both Mexicans and homeless. I don't know that they're both necessarily related, but yeah.
When things aren't going smoothly economically, there's a lot of discontent and a lot of resentment all around from many groups toward other groups, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's a characteristic. If you look through history, I'm sure that's come up more than once. When the Irish were blamed for taking the jobs that were needed for American people, or the Chinese, I'm sure it's happened, you know, to different groups. And this point of history, it's the Mexicans that are taking it. Taking it in the chonies, Mexican.
What's a chony?
That's your underwear.
Oh. Oh, okay. I thought it might be something inside the underwear. No, that's cojones. That's cojones.
Right, cojones.
Cojones is inside the underwear, and chonies is the underwear.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. There you go. So Spanish lesson 101.
Thank you, Dave. That's really, really, really good. So I will tell you where that's from. It's from the rants and raves section of Craigslist. You know, and there's absolutely no reason in the world these days for anyone to be bored. Even poor people who can't afford a computer, because you just go down to the library and get on a public computer, you know. And computers aren't all that expensive. In fact, I know a lot of people who have computers before they have food, you know. But like I said, there's no reason to be bored at all. When you're living in this day and age, because all you do is jump on the internet and just start searching for things, and one thing leads to another, to another, to another, and so forth. And there's no end to it. It's like a web. That's why they call it a world wide web. So I was looking at Craigslist, and I first became acquainted with Craigslist as a way to freely advertise for real estate tenants, you know, for property to fill up property rentals and so forth. And it's a very effective way. In fact, Craigslist is credited with effectively killing the newspaper industry more than any other single entity, because what people had been used to paying for many, many years, classified ads in the newspaper, suddenly is free. And Craigslist is a bigger audience, because it's worldwide, than any local newspaper. And as a result of that, it got to be very, very popular. And many different other sections are added, like for sale sections and so forth. Now I notice that there is a TV section. Craigslist has television. And in fact, they've got their own channel on YouTube. There's something that I'm going to play here for a couple minutes that I found just fascinating. I'm going to take the microphone off my head here and just play it through the speakers on my other computer. While you're calling 479-1080 if you want to get on the radio here with us on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. Okay, this is Michael Mullen's Meet the Parents from Craigslist TV.
Welcome, friends. Welcome to dinner. Are you hungry? We have enough for you. World, let me just introduce these. These are my amazing parents. What's your name? This is my mother, Celeste Mullen.
Celeste.
Celeste. I call her Celeste Titty. I like to call her Celeste Titty. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. Look at her cute headband. Doesn't she look like a princess? I'm very gay, and my parents are very accepting. My mom prayed that I would turn out gay. She said, I want a gay son. I want him flaming. I want him fabulous. Just kidding. It wasn't the case.
My parents are so great. They live in Texas, but they supported no nonprofit because they believe in everybody being treated equally under the law, right?
True.
I'm very proud of my parents. This is my mom's lover, Raphael. Her Latin lover, Raphael. Dad, where's the hair dye? I told you I wanted a rose. I wanted a mole. I wanted a shirt with ruffles, with chest hair.
That's a salad.
No, pass the salad, he said. So demanding.
He's an amazing father. He's my best friend. And my mom's my other best friend when we're not disagreeing on everything. Back to my dad, who's not gay, although I have questioned that time. Just kidding. He's really good at decorating. Anyway, my dad was hot when he was young. He was like a model. Anyway, he looked like a mannequin. My dad was in the army. He's like, this is boring, I quit. And then he went into the seminary to become a priest. But he didn't molest any children. He's not like that. His roommate, on the other hand. Father O'Malley. So then he married my mom. They fell in love. They had one hot night of burning love where I was conceived. Thank you for making me, Mom and Dad. My mom, after she had me, they wanted two kids. They wanted a boy and a girl. Well, guess what? They got both in one with me. I turned out boy and girl, so I had to have everything blue and pink. We're not your normal family.
So that's from the new Craigslist TV channel. Should we have our own TV channel here at KSCO through the website? We can do that. It's not all that hard. You know, if we have, I don't know, if we just decide that we're going to do it and figure out a way to do it, we could hire some people maybe. I'd rather not do that because that costs a lot of money that we don't have. But let's go to the phone lines, 479-1080 if you want to call the Saturday special and just talk about all kinds of things that are happening. iPhone 4 came out this week. Does anyone listening have one? Please give us a call at 479-1080. We'd like your personal report. Let's see. Chris in Santa Cruz is calling in and wants to talk about immigrants and homeless and so forth. So let's say hello to Chris. Chris, how you doing?
Fine. Good morning. Yeah, again, you know, my views on this whole issue are, you know, I don't know how much we got into, but basically, you know, grew up in Santa Cruz and Watsonville, and, you know, in short, it's a good thing and a bad thing in some senses. I think the people that are here and they've been working, you know, definitely should have a lot more leniency as, you know, they pay into the system. A lot of them do work. They are working and they pay taxes and they pay a lot of the things even though they, you know, they're not supposed to technically be here. So what that does is creates a lot of income for the state and does, you know, and most of the people have, you know, are productive and, you know, and don't have issues. I think people that have not been productive, in short, should be viewed on a one-on-one basis, you know, on what they're contributing. As far as new people, it needs to be set up so that they can apply. And that's not just Latino. That's, you know, that's the Asian community and that's the Indian community. You look at the Bay Area, I mean, it's got to slow down to some degree. I think that also having people come into the country as a whole need to be somewhat screened or at least, you know, checked out, you know, to some degree because of all the things that can be brought in. Issue, i.e., you know, terrorism.
Isn't that called closing the borders?
Yeah, that basically is, but not necessarily. It just means doing a better job because, you know, we got if you got somebody here who's running from another country, say I'm in Santa Cruz, I've done a horrible thing, such as, you know, like that guy who murdered a couple of those girls, and I fled to another country, and I'm hiding there, and, you know, there's got to be some level of consistency in screening these people, you know, or any person for that matter. But back to the Latino population, there's a lot of issues that are changing based on the fact that people are learning and growing here in this area and learning about each other's culture. You know, that anytime you have a lot of people, a flood of people, I don't care whether it's Asian, Middle Eastern, or whatever, it tends to pose as a shock, and there's a lot of misunderstanding. There's a lot of education that needs to go with it. And without that, that's where you get the hate and the misunderstandings, and that's the problem.
Well, you obviously heard the Craigslist rant that I read earlier,
part of
right?
it, yeah, part of it, yeah.
What did you think of that? Of what
well,
you heard?
You know, I think the well, refresh me real quick and as quick as you can, because I was really thinking about what I wanted to say about the Latino and homeless issue.
Oh, okay. Well, dear unemployed Mexican baby maker, that was the title.
Oh, yeah, no, that's totally messed up. And a guy, and, you know, the guy obviously, whoever wrote that has some, you know, big-time issues, and they're obviously not educated about this whole thing. You know, you can go down the line on baby making. It's just that's ridiculous. The guy, in my day, you said that in my school, you'd get beat. You know, I mean, that was serious. Even
how
in
old are
town,
you, Chris?
I'm 42, you know, and I went to school out in Salsa Puedas. And, you know, that school means get out if you can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was an average. Every day was a beating out there. I had buddies jumped. I've been jumped. It was not a pretty thing. It was not an easy school to go to. So I got 42 years here, and I'm pretty well aware of what goes on, and I've had people in gangs, I've known people in jail, I've known bad folks that have done bad things in town that were, you know, Asian or American, you know, or white, Anglo. And so it just depends on upbringing and social stature, but that guy's
so you're talking 30 years ago, and things weren't really all that different from the way they are now.
Well, they are a little bit different in the sense the younger generation grew up learning to speak Spanish. They like the food. They understand a little more about the culture. You know, our parents taught us a little more understanding about that whole thing of, you know, come on, they're people. You know, you've got to love and respect each other. And so, and there's a lot of good Latino families. There's a lot of good Asian families I grew up out with in Watsonville. So I wasn't, you know, pretty much the Archie Bunker days of, you know how that whole show went down, you know, that colored guy.
Oh,
down
it was
the
a one, it was a great show.
It
don't
really
you think?
Was a good show, you know, and it
proves that liberals have senses of humor because the show was put on, was conceived and produced and acted in by liberals.
Right. Well, I never knew that. But, you know, like I said, you know, I was lucky because that hate stuff is going to slowly start to disappear. And, you know, like I said, they contribute a lot, but they also bring some things that need adjusting. And so just to call them baby makers is totally unfair. Now,
yes.
My issue real quick on the homeless stuff, I'll make that short. I have a lot of sympathy for homeless. I've had a lot of money, and I've lost a lot of money. In this town, that's really common. So I know both sides of the street. But the bottom line is where I'm downtown, the word I keep getting is I'm barely making it is, can you spare? Are you willing? Will you? Can you? And are you? And it's like, you know, I've said it a million times. I'm beat up. I'm broke. I can't deal with this anymore. Please let up. So that's one issue I have with those guys. I'm pretty much done with it. And the other issue is a lot of them won't take care of each other. What they'll end up doing is they'll end up robbing each other's camps. There's not a lot of, it's a social, it's a psychological disease. A lot of these people are really mentally ill and need help.
Yeah.
And they either, A, don't want it. I don't know when Reagan or somebody told me they threw all those people out. They didn't get the help they need. They cut off the funding. So now you got people with hepatitis, meningitis, drug and alcohol addictions, a lot of them with no respect. And you know, understandably, they're not mentally sane and they're homeless, and a lot of people treat them bad.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of them that are really are just rude and nasty and don't have any respect, and they don't come from here.
Needs to be more homeless shelters in Santa Cruz area?
Well, you know, that would be a good thing, but at the same time, if everybody from San Diego, this Santa Barbara, from Hawaii to whatever found out about it, guess what? This is a perfect climate and a perfect safe haven. So then Santa Cruz would probably end up being this big mecca of Berkeley's, you know, I mean, I don't want to put anybody down from these areas, but I have a pretty sneaky suspicion that they come from a lot of these areas, tourist towns.
Yeah.
You know, I went to Cambodia, and there were a lot of people that came from other parts to go to the big city to get money, to wherever the safe havens were. And that's fine, but do we want to be that, and do we have the infrastructure to support it? I don't know. I don't think it's I think there needs to be something done. I just don't know what that looks like.
Well, let's put it out to our audience and see if anybody has a suggestion. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I'll put my radio back on, and good job, you guys. And boy, that's a heated topic. It's going to be a good one today. Good luck.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chris in Santa Cruz. We appreciate your call. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. It's your favorite radio station, the Saturday Special, with MZ and Dave Michaels, pilot Santa Cruz. You're up next.
Yeah. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Good enough. I was just going to plug in where that guy dropped off.
Okay.
I think it's pretty disingenuous that there's an effort to immunize people from criticism by calling any criticism at all hate. And then, of course, there's always the Nazi card if you criticize somebody. And
let
you're
people
a Nazi.
Say whatever they want because it's freedom of speech.
Well, that's my attitude. I get criticized, and I never play the Nazi card. I never say, "Oh, you hate me because you criticize me." I mean, Mexicans, and generally speaking, they are baby makers. I mean, everybody's a baby. Not everybody, but every culture is
a baby maker
to some degree.
Are you a baby maker?
What?
Are you a baby maker?
Well, that's why I said every culture. I mean, I'm not a baby maker.
So you have no children that you know of?
Pardon me?
You have no children that you know of?
No, I have no children.
I see. So you're not a baby maker.
I can confidently say I was good about that, and I have no kids.
Uh-huh. But by design, do you ever wish you had kids?
Pardon me? Do I ever wish I had them?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, if there was...
Because you wouldn't be
if
population
If the world wasn't in
packed.
Such a mess, I mean, I could just... You know, I'd love, frankly, you know, I wish there was no population pressure and I could have a family just out in the forest in a nice little cabin and have a couple of kids and not have to deal with the fact that everything's going to hell. Which
yeah.
I feel like.
So that's why you didn't have kids.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Uh huh. Good. I mean, good. I mean, just interesting.
But my point though is, I'm not against. I don't want the human race to go extinct. I mean, to say that, you know, to call Mexicans baby makers immediately implies that having babies is wrong, or it's wrong for Mexicans to have babies, or. The human race should go extinct. I'm not saying any of that stuff, but the general idea is if Mexicans are called baby makers, generally speaking, that doesn't apply to every Mexican, but generally speaking, Mexicans have too many kids. That doesn't mean I hate Mexicans. I mean, that's a no-brainer, but you have to wade through all this idiocy. Oh, you hate Mexicans.
Well
no,
it might have
I'm
something
saying.
To do with most Mexicans are Catholic. That's a correct statement, isn't it?
I don't hate Catholics, all right?
No, but that's probably...
I know, but then you have to wade through that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so in any case...
you see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay to criticize something, especially if it deserves to be criticized.
Yeah, of course.
In which case you're stating a fact.
And don't take it personal.
If you're stating a fact, is that... Are facts hateful? That's basically what we're getting down to here. Are facts hateful?
Some would say that they are.
Well, then they need to demonstrate how it's hateful to state a fact. I mean, facts are
facts. I'm going to keep stating things. Do you think it's a terrible thing? Do you think that I'm an accessory? If I'm not racist myself, I don't think anybody would say that IMZ is racist. Anybody who's listened to the station for many years would know that that's just ridiculous.
You're a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm a nice guy. But some would argue that the very fact that I read that rant that I picked up and found interesting on Craigslist earlier today was not in good taste at all.
I
just look at it as interesting content, as stuff to chew up and talk about on a talk radio program.
Yeah, if things are being discussed off the air, then you might as well talk about it and let the chips fall where they will. I mean, there's such a thing as being a potty mouth, and I don't think that applies here. No, seriously, I participate in some online discussions that get pretty heated. And you know me, I'm an across the board. There's too many human beings. I don't hate them, but it's a fact. There's too many people. At least that should be something that can be discussed without immediately being called names.
Who's called you names? Who's called
That's
you names?
That's a good one.
No, who has called you names?
Who hasn't? No, I mean, seriously.
I haven't. Unless Population Pat is a name. That's
identify
you as.
That's fine. I don't have...
Yeah, I didn't think you had a problem with that.
No, but, I mean, trust me, I get called hater, Nazi, fascist, eco-fascist being because...
Well, I guess anything that has a possible connection to abortion, okay? And you're obviously pro-abortion, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, there are people out there who would... call you the most hateful. I know of one person in particular, the person that I had an altercation with a couple of weeks ago at the Santa Cruz farmers market. And, you know, those of you who happen to hear about that, it was a terrible, terrible altercation where my face got spit in by this person because she thought she knew that I was conservative and or would speak to someone who is conservative. Anyway, long story, never mind. But
no, go ahead. That's an interesting story.
Oh, you don't know about that?
Uh-uh.
Well, you know, I don't want to dredge that up again. It was just a really interesting thing. We're talking about doing Wednesdays at the live Wednesday afternoons on KSCO, starting with the What's Left program with Brad Cava from 2 o'clock on. Broadcasting from the farmers market in downtown Santa Cruz, which is one of quite a number we have in the county, but it's probably the most popular one in terms of total number of people and the longest lats.
Yeah, wouldn't the drummers try to drown?
No, the drummers are gone now. They expanded that where the drummers used to be, and so now they've got new exhibits. You know, they have new booths and so forth, and no drummers.
All right.
So. Anyhow, it's a whole new thing down there, and I thought that there would be lots of characters to interview, both, you know, attendees, you know, buyers and vendors themselves who operate the businesses there. And so I went down there. I like to go there anyhow when I'm in town on Wednesdays and just go buy some fresh fruit and vegetables and, you know, things. So I happened to be, and it's a public place, and I recorded a conversation without letting the person know that I was talking to, that I was being recorded. It was right out in the open. And when the person found out and asked me, are you recording this? I said, yeah, I am. She said, you don't have the right to do that. You didn't get my permission. I said, I beg your pardon. I don't need your permission. This is a public place, and anybody who happens to be within earshot can hear our conversation and even join into it. And she didn't like that. Long story short, she spit in my face and grabbed my iPhone and threw it across the parking lot, and I thought that was the end of the iPhone. But luckily for me, it wasn't. It was just scratched up a bit. Good commercial for Apple. Boy, their products are made very well. I mean, there's no way that iPhone should have been working after being tossed like that by this angry woman.
So did you follow up on this, or did you prosecute?
Well, by the time I couldn't prosecute, even if I wanted to. I wouldn't have, because the thing, you know, as it turned out, there was really no damage. I can live with a little scratch on the thing, but if the thing
If you put a finger on somebody, I mean, that's assault. I mean, this woman spit on you. I don't, I'm just asking.
That's exactly right. It
well,
wasn't
that's pretty
assault.
Gracious of you to let her do that. It was.
I didn't let her do that. In fact, I recoiled. It was disgusting. It was so shocking and horrifying that I wasn't really paying that I wasn't grasping my iPhone as strongly as I should have been, so that it got. I never dreamed that she would grab my iPhone and throw it, so that I wouldn't have the recording. Anyhow, I do have the recording, but I'm not going to play it.
You'll know next time anyway.
We had Dean Sutton, a fine attorney, on the program the next day to discuss this whole issue, and did I do anything wrong? And the consensus was no, I didn't do anything wrong because it was a public place. And by the way, as time goes on, more and more people have recording or walking, you know, radio and television studios.
True.
With their cell phones. And, you know, I believe that when you're in a public place, you have the right to record anybody without asking for their permission, both in terms of video and audio. Now, am I wrong there? I think there might. I just
assume that I could be recorded just about any time.
Yeah. And don't say anything that you wouldn't, that's a lie or that you, you know, I don't give a damn if people record me. I never say anything to anybody or about anybody that I wouldn't say in front of their face anyhow. You know?
Me too.
Anyhow, Pat, thanks for your call.
Yeah,
you know, thank you. A bunch of a board lit up. That opens up a line, by the way, at 479-1080. So if you want to call in, now is the time to call. We got Mal in Santa Cruz is up next, then Sun in Boulder Creek, Judy in Corralitos, Colonel Terry in Aptos. Oh, cool. Anyhow, Mal, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to respond to the caller before this one.
Yeah.
You were talking about more people with mental illnesses being symptomatic on the street. Well, the Board of Supervisors closed three of our residential facilities, and those people turned home. A lot of those people turned homeless because they didn't have anywhere to go.
Sure.
Those residences turned into very, very specialized programs under other grants that don't apply to mental health. But if you don't support the mental health system and housing persons with mental illness, you're going to have more people symptomatic on the street. And they are not the problem downtown. The gang members are the problem downtown. I hope everyone knows that. I think the merchants know it.
In fact, we should be talking more about that on your favorite radio station, about the gang members. It'd be wonderful if we can get some gang members to come in.
That would be great. I have talked.
And by the way,
that.
your promo that you wrote was fabulous. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You wrote a nice promo back when we were inviting people to freshen our stale promos on the radio. You know,
I'm a friend of KSDL.
Clearly, and thank you very, very much. I enjoy listening to that promo.
All right. I just want to say one more thing. The disproportionately high percentage of homeless people are mentally ill, 30%.
Yes.
And after 5 years on the street, it's 70%.
Wow. Hey, Mal, what is it that designates a person as mentally ill?
Well, in this society, a diagnosis by a class of people called psychiatrists who seem to function as if they were God.
Uh-huh.
A diagnosis is what really...
Okay, so someone has to go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist and be diagnosed as mentally ill. And it's possible...
No, you can obviously be ill and not be diagnosed. There's all sorts
And of course, you know that hosts that appear occasionally on this station, Roy Masters and Michael Savage, who used to be a syndicated host on this station... They contend that all liberal people are mentally ill.
Mental illness, yeah.
Yeah. Liberalism is a mental illness, is what they contend.
I've heard Michael say that, and I laugh.
Yeah. And it was actually Roy, whom I believe, originated that thought. Anyhow,
thank you for calling in.
Appreciate it. Son! Hi, son!
Hi, Mike.
Son, you got the most appropriate name because I know you, and there is no sunnier personality than thou.
Well, thank you, Michael.
And someone has asked me, they said, is that your given name or did someone, is that sort of a nickname?
Well, it's a nickname, but it was created, like my parents were Catholic and they created a space for me to take on a confirmation name.
Yeah.
And so I took on Son, but I didn't do it by getting confirmed as a Catholic. I did it by getting confirmed as a grown-up.
And when was that?
That was in 1986.
Uh-huh.
So since then, everybody, all my friends have pretty much called me Son.
Okay, so that's like 24 years. Cool. Okay. Now, Son, are we allowed to say your relationship with Dr. Future?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You are married to Dr. Future.
That's right. Happily married to Dr. Future.
Yeah. And Dr. Future, the Dr. Future program, along with Sun and Lakshmi and Nada, the whole Awake Media team have been on KSCO a number of times now, and we're settling in on the Tuesday 2 to 4 p.m. slot on the radio station, right?
Yeah, we really like being one of the voices of what's left in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, great. Oh, well, enjoy having you. So you're calling about baby makers today, huh?
Yeah. I really am enjoying the show and was tuning in. First of all, when you were saying, hey, do we need an online show, of course, you know my attitude about that is it would be very simple for us to just figure out how to do it and do it. And of
online
course,
dating. Online dating.
Yeah, online dating?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Not online dating, but radio dating. Now, probably doesn't, huh?
I don't get it. How does it work?
I don't know how it works. I mean, there's a lot of people listening, and is it possible or even practical to even think that a radio program can be constructed, maybe part radio and part web, you know, that would be sort of like the radio equivalent of Match.com.
Oh, sure. Hey,
see what I'm saying?
That's a great idea. So people come in for interviews, and then they just kind of post their little persona on the KSDO website, and then people can put something in their forum and say hello.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess the whole idea, I don't know. I just think that there's something there. I would like to think about things that haven't been done and ask why haven't they been done and why shouldn't they be done? And that's just
that
one of the things.
That's a great idea, Mike. I love it.
But you know, I'm just sort of thinking out loud. It would take a lot more thought about how to make it happen, because online, two people who are corresponding, it's like in total private.
Mm-hmm.
But on the radio, it would be totally public. And
yeah,
would
different that be? Types. No, there's the transparency types and there's the secrecy types.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to have a whole wide range of people who will respond.
Right. Okay. Well, so anyhow, I didn't mean to knock you off your track here because you called about the baby makers.
Yeah, not at all. No. I wanted to respond to, I guess it was Pat, I think, was talking about baby makers. And, to me, the word itself has a pejorative meaning because of the kind of snide, mean way that people say it. And it's really indicative of a much larger problem of how people really disrespect motherhood. They really disrespect mothers in general, and they see them as a burden. And it's really an unfair characterization because these women do so much work, and so much of that work is purely duty and love and
I respect what you're saying, but I've never thought that. I mean, God, I mean, there's no harder job in the world than that of raising a kid, and
listen to like how it comes off if you say, "Oh, that baby maker." You know, I mean, it just sounds like it's the most disgusting thing in the world. And that's such a ridiculous point of view.
Well, but did you hear me read that whole thing about dear unemployed Mexican baby maker?
No, I came in after you read that.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I should read it again. But it's so funny. More and more people. We should start the Saturday special at 11 o'clock. I think because more and more people. Not too many people are listening at 10, but a whole lot of people tune in during the 10 o'clock hour, and during the 11 o'clock hour, it's usually wild. But anyhow, what I'll do is I'll probably reread this next hour. But I'm looking at the clock right now, and I want to let you finish your thought, and then we need to do a commercial break, and then we're going to come back with Marion Watsonville, Colonel Terry in Aptos, Judy and Gorlitos, and Trace and Snazzy Cruz. And some of the people want to talk about dating. That's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll keep it short. I mean, basically, I just think that as a woman, tone is everything, and it's really possible to kind of think things in a nice way and be inclusive. And, you know, why be hateful towards our neighbors? You know, we are a multicultural society, and we can get along. We've been doing it for a few hundred years already.
Right.
And let's be into celebrating the culture.
I wish you had listened to this. I wish you had listened to this. And I'm going to make it a point to read it again next hour. It's not all that long. Dear unemployed Mexican baby maker, it's a rant from Craigslist that I pulled off of Craigslist this morning.
Okay,
and
cool.
You can tell me, and you can call me or email me and let me know if you think that this is hateful. Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate calling. You're calling, son.
My best
to Al, and I put out the word for anybody who has an iPhone yet to call and give us a report. I know Al's got one on order. He doesn't have it yet, does he?
Oh, Al is here if you want to. You probably don't have time, but he has an iPhone.
I saw
report.
One at the party last night, which was one of the best ever.
Oh.
At Angela's birthday party.
Oh.
I put it up on my Facebook page, the first demo of it.
Okay.
It was really cool. The front-facing camera is just fantastic.
Well, that's enough for me to want to get one, I guess, right there, because so many times I've tried to take a picture of my egotistical self, and it's always out of frame because I have to estimate. You know.
Your life will change dramatically.
That's great.
That'll be good. All right, thanks.
Really
by the way, quickly.
You'll have a circle of people.
What is Dr. Future? What is your Facebook page so people can go and see that demo?
I think you have to be a friend of mine in order to...
Oh, I see. Okay. All righty. Well,
you can get it onto the KSCO Dr. Future page if you want.
Okay, good. We'll do that. We'll be looking for that, okay? All righty.
Okay.
Thanks, you guys. You have a good one. Dave, I think we got to do 5 minutes of commercials. Am I right?
Yeah, Z, we got 5 minutes of commercials.
Okay, so everybody who's on hold, stay on hold. We'll get to you. I promise. Okay, go ahead, Dave. Thanks.
No, señor.
MZ here with a puzzle I'd like you to help me solve. There's this great restaurant in Freedom, the California Grill, located in the shopping center on the corner of Airport and Freedom Boulevards. The food is fresh, wonderful, and of the highest quality. The portions are generous and the prices are reasonable. Much of the menu is from the popular Adolph's Restaurant. Yes, the Adolph's that everyone misses, a favorite in Santa Cruz for over 50 years until it closed several years ago. California Grill is the preferred restaurant for many of the area's most discerning diners because the owners, Paul and Neely Tarabi, guarantee the satisfaction of all their customers, and nobody ever leaves the California Grill without being totally happy. Now, here's the puzzle. Why is the California Grill not packed with a line around the block all the time? It deserves to be. It's that good. Yet this fine dining establishment, which is open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., can always seat you and serve you immediately. Try it yourself and see what I mean. Mention KSCO and receive a free Spumoni dessert. Then help me solve the puzzle of why the California Grill, which should be jam-packed all the time, is not.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself. With the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electric, Charlie Friedman here, listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Hey, it's MZ with an update on one of my favorite places to visit and get ideas for outdoor living now that summer is approaching. Scarborough Gardens has it all. A nursery, gift shop, and an extensive patio shop. The patio shop carries a full selection of quality wood, aluminum wicker, and cast aluminum patio furniture. They're dealers for Chicago Wicker and for Telescope Casual, which is made in the USA, and for Jensen Leisure, a unique outdoor wood furniture line. The stock on hand is abundant. That means you can choose your favorite styles, colors, brand name, and price range and take it with you today. And yes, they can also deliver it to your home Monday through Friday. Don't wait. The best selections are available now for graduations, weddings, and summer holiday gatherings. Let their knowledgeable staff help you. Scarborough Gardens at 33 El Pueblo Road, just off Scotts Valley Drive. They are still family-owned and operated and have supported our local community for over 20 years. Check out the website at scarboroughgardens.com, where you can get more details on the various brands of furniture and a wonderful free newsletter with store specials.
La cucaracha.
You mean that's not a commercial?
No, that's not a commercial. That's
well,
La cucaracha.
La cucaracha. La cucaracha. How does the rest of it go? Like there's something that would calm me down.
It goes something like quack, 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 quack. I don't speak Spanish, so I don't know.
You don't speak Spanish?
No.
Okay, listen. Here, let's say hello to Colonel Terry and ask him to please wait until, because we want to give him more than 10 seconds, okay, Colonel Terry? Okay?
I'm about ready to leave.
Oh, okay.
I'll wait if you want me to.
Promise we'll put you up right after the news. Okay. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Okay. It's
Beat in Canada. Let's go live to Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz.
Global security topped the second and final day of the G8 summit outside of Toronto. The G8 leaders focusing on nuclear threats from Iran and North Korea.
The governments of Iran and North Korea have chosen to acquire weapons to threaten their neighbors.
Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper. The leaders also condemned the sinking of a South Korean warship and acknowledged the report that blames North Korea. Now a new summit is getting underway here in Toronto, the G20, which includes the leaders of the G8, along with leaders of up-and-coming economies.
Mike, thank you. In just a half hour, it's USA versus Ghana. Let's go live to the World Cup in Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley.
Karen, it's almost game time for Team USA's critical match against Ghana. They must win to move on to the quarterfinals. They lost 4 years ago to the same team, but this time they're determined to win it. Cheering USA fans decked out in red, white, and blue are streaming into the stadium alongside fans for Ghana, the only African country left in the tournament. It's been only a 72-hour turnaround from the U.S.'s heart-stopping match against Algeria, where Landon Donovan nailed a goal in the 91st minute to give the U.S. the win. Donovan saying they have also the chance to do something special tonight. Karen?
Thanks, Courtney. Tropical storm Alex swirling towards the Yucatan Peninsula. It is the first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. The National Hurricane Center says Alex isn't likely to affect the Gulf Coast and the oil spill cleanup, but officials are watching anyway. National Incident Commander Thad Allen says if that storm does move in, cleanup efforts are going to have to stop. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They've taken your money. Now Fox Business Network is taking them to task. Every weeknight at 7 p.m. Eastern, David Asman hosts a special series on America's Nightly Scoreboard. Tune in for exclusive reports and hard-hitting investigations that challenge Washington and expose the latest corporate corruption. You will not want to miss this nightly show when David and his team of expert reporters keep score on the issues that affect your future. Bottom line, you have questions and only one show keeps fighting for you to get the answers. America's Nightly Scoreboard with David Asman, only on the Fox Business Network.
Do you believe in the freedom of the press, thought, speech, and worship? If your answer is yes, join the online community where you can finally be heard, thefoxnation.com. Fox Nation allows you to be a part of the tradition that has made America great. It's time to say no to biased media and yes to fair play and free speech. Be a part of the real news of America and join the online community that believes in the right to express your views, values, and voice. Join thefoxnation.com now.
Vice President Dick Cheney is spending the weekend in the hospital. He wasn't feeling well yesterday and was admitted for tests.
His last heart attack was in February of this year, though it was a mild one, but that was his fourth heart attack since the age of 37. He has also had quadruple bypass surgery and two angioplasties to clear his arteries, and he has a pacemaker. Of course, that has never seemed to slow him down while in office, and since leaving office, he's become one of the most vocal critics of the Obama administration, criticizing the president and the White House on foreign policy, terrorism, and the expansion of government.
That's Fox's Melanie Wilkes outside George Washington University Hospital. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is in Afghanistan. Admiral Mike Mullen met with President Hamid Karzai, assuring him the new NATO commander there will follow a path similar to that forged by the just-ousted General Stanley McChrystal. Afghan leaders had said they were worried the change in leadership could affect McChrystal's counterinsurgency strategy. A senior Taliban commander is dead in Afghanistan after dressing up as a woman to get away.
NATO is reporting the death of Ghulam Saki, a senior Taliban commander involved in roadside bombings and ambushes throughout Afghanistan's Logar province south of Kabul. Saki also said to have kidnapped and killed an Afghan government intelligence chief. NATO says when Afghan and international troops went to arrest him, they used a loudspeaker outside the building where he was holed up to call for women and children to leave, and that when they did, Saki came out with them disguised as a woman and then pulled a pistol and a grenade. He was shot, they say, and dropped the grenade, which went off, killing him and wounding a woman and two children. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
A prince in Queens. On the second day of his visit to the colonies, Britain's Prince Harry headed to Queens, New York, to throw the first pitch at Citi Field for a game between the New York Mets and the Minnesota Twins. Earlier, the prince, who's third in line to the British throne, observed how UNICEF used mapping technology to figure out how to distribute help in Haiti. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, or should I say good morning. You have it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is Saturday, June 26th, 2010. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast and traffic update. We are going to start off with your weather forecast for today, which is for mostly sunny conditions by mid-afternoon with highs in the lower 70s. Tonight's forecast, partly cloudy with lows around 51 degrees. Your forecast for tomorrow once again calls for sunny conditions by mid-afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. And your boaters forecast for this morning, west winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, and west swells 3 to 5 feet every 8 seconds, along with patchy fog. On to traffic now, starting off in the Hollister-Gilroy area, CHP reporting a pedestrian on the roadway northbound 101 just south of 152. Doesn't appear to be very major. On the other side of the hill, things looking good, too. CHP reporting no major incidents on that side of 17 or 101. Same thing goes for the Fishhook. Traffic trouble-free and at the limit in both directions. The number to call in with your traffic tips is 475-1080. Coming up next, hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ. Holy smokes, are you okay, MZ?
I sure... Did you
sound like you tripped.
You turned the microphone on before while I was still clearing my throat and making it sounding like I'm dying?
No. I just turned it up right now. We just heard you falling down.
Oh. Oh, no. I was just...
We didn't hear you choking, though.
All right. I was just adjusting the microphone here. Dave, you're a fine man.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Seriously, I mean, why does Charlie Friedman call you Dead Air Dave? Or maybe he doesn't do that anymore.
No, he calls me Dead Air Dave. It's a name of affection. He calls me that because I've been known to, his music kind of puts me to sleep sometimes. So I've missed a couple cues.
I gotcha. Okay, so when you're asleep and he cues you, you're not there sometimes. Gotcha. It's 11:06 on AM 1080 KSCO. And before we officially start hour number two, which means we have to begin with Kay's commentary, it's not a world premiere because I understand it was running yesterday. But we're going to run it today. It's a relatively new Kay's commentary. But I promised Colonel Terry that we would, because he's got to go. When you got to go, you got to go, right, Colonel Terry?
Well, normally I've got to check with my dad and his doctor. And an appointment with him, but I'd normally be happy to wait and defer.
You
to
called
commentary.
A long time ago, so it's only right that we put you on now.
Yeah, well, thank you. I get the comments. I wasn't sure what the topic was. Is that? But let me say, my perspective includes having worked for ranging from NAFs and looking ahead at forecasted problems for the country.
Okay.
And my perspectives you know, have ranged from being born into a Republican family to a registered Democrat later in life, and now I'm an independent because I recognize that both parties are stupid about different things in their dogma, their ideology, and the constituencies that they try to appeal to as well as grab money from.
Couldn't agree with you more.
The threat is that neither party can be trusted to be honest and honorable and do the right thing for the country. The Congress is especially paramount in this. We didn't send them there to be bribed by corporations and sometimes constituencies like labor unions, but usually corporate interests.
Yes.
We didn't send them to have their wives be employed like Senator Dodd and Bayh got caught doing, making $1 million a year. The wives were going to work 2 days a week, and the money was flowing from lobbyists who were working for pharmaceutical and other companies that their husbands were voting favorably for in committee meetings. We sent them there to be our legislative representatives, and we've got to clean up the funding in politics. We've got to clean up an opportunity for equal access and public financing. We've got to require open, total ethics by members of Congress, and there are four or five other examples, MZ, I think we would both agree on, regardless of our political approach, that we got to have an honest, competent government with honest, competent representatives. And if it's going to be subject to who can bribe them the most, we're going to end up with deregulation of banks, removing Glass-Steagall in 98, which I knew as a high school debater was preposterous and wrong to do. And we see that 90% of the meltdown was caused by doing that. Both Democrats and Republicans joined in that because $500 million was funneled to both parties pretty much evenly prior to the Glass-Steagall vote. And the bankers didn't fund that, the Wall Street bankers, not expecting a payback. And they have gotten it in the hundreds and hundreds of millions, billions and billions, if not trillions of dollars. An example of that could be repeated over and over again. So I'm calling for good, competent, honest government, and I think that KSCO should be advocating that, given the strength of both your signal, you know, and the popularity of your station, sir.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, well, I guess that's what we're doing, program.
And if the question was also recognizing reality, that's the other thing that I think should be advocated. If we take the population issue raised before, the Council of Rome in 1960 said we're going to have overpopulated planet extracting more resources than can be used to feed, house, clothe, and nurture people. It was repeated again in the 73 study that Paul Ehrlich did. It is clear we are overpolluting and overpopulating this planet, and institutions like the Catholic Church, that I used to also be a member of, are negligent in not recognizing this and permitting women greater, if you will, pregnancy prevention.
Okay.
Okay, so there's my rant for the day. I'm curious if anybody would like to disagree with me, and I'll listen to it while I drive.
Oh, you can listen while you're driving. Okay,
thank
good.
You,
thank you, Colonel Terry.
And it's a great station, MC. It really is.
You know, I have to agree with you. I would have to agree with you. Thank you so much.
Okay, be well.
Take care. You too. There goes Colonel Terry from Aptos. And now.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
All right, there are a bunch of people who are going to comment about the dating, you know, radio dating, and if it could work or not. And they all hung up. I want them to all call back. Call back.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
All right, it's 11:12 a.m. Saturday, June 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2010. Now that music means that it's time for the latest K's commentary. As soon as the music ends, Dave will start playing it, okay?
The following is an encore presentation of an earlier commentary originally broadcast November 24th, 2005. Here is Kay Zwirling.
For those listeners who do not believe in the existence of God, I respectfully suggest that you do not listen to this commentary. It will have no meaning for you. Holy Moses and Jesus Christ, undoubtedly the two most compelling moral figures of our current civilization, because they were chosen by God to deliver to the world his messages for the endurance of a good and ethical society. History records that after God created the world, he also created different civilizations to occupy it one at a time. Each civilization grew and evolved, and because of human lust and power, each gradually became so morally bankrupt that in disgust, God decided to discard them and start all over again. The present civilization is now showing unmistakable signs of so much moral decay that God may discard it also. He's very angry with us. Witness the unusual and frequent abundant catastrophes our world is experiencing. The latest catastrophe could be the announcement recently that 12-year-old boys in elementary school will be offered condoms. Moses was summoned by God to receive and disperse to his people, the Jews, his Ten Commandments, so that gradually all people would learn to worship God by living productively and morally, like not stealing, not lying, not killing, not coveting, always honoring parents, etc. In short, rules to live by to be good human beings. Our civilization presently is being assaulted by many people who have rejected religion, rejected the family unit, are trying vigorously to legalize same-sex marriage. These same people created legislation to allow pregnant 12-year-old girls to obtain abortions without the knowledge of their parents. Our society is going downhill rapidly. The wrong people are taking over, which does not bode well for the continued existence of this civilization. Several centuries after God delivered to Moses his commandments, a very special human being was born, and his name was Jesus Christ. And I love Jesus Christ. As a young adult, he wandered many places with a unique and simple message, which was, "Love thy neighbor and turn the other cheek." It is moot to argue whether Jesus was or was not divine. Suffice to say that his was a very special message because he offered the concept of goodness to the world that needed to hear it. These teachings of Jesus were so new and so foreign to a dog-eat-dog, belligerent, and destructive world that many embraced his concept, and so Christianity was born. About a couple of centuries ago, our nation, a democracy, was created by our forefathers, and in their wisdom, they combined the moral beliefs of both Judaism and Christianity in an ethical basis and mission statement for the new incredible country. So, from its inception, the U.S. has been and always will be a Judeo-Christian nation. We pray that our democracy will continue to prosper and endure despite the negative pressures of decadent, godless forces in our midst. So, God, please continue to bless America. For KSCO, this is Kay Zwirling.
This wet winter is adding tons of brush to your...
Oh, what was that all about?
That was Charlie Friedman trying to hog up more airtime, like he doesn't get enough.
I recognize that voice. All right. Doug Silvera sent me an email about, it says, immigration solution. It says, MZ, it's easy. Securing the border and instituting a humane guest worker program would go a long way towards solving the U.S. immigration problem. The borders, airports, etc. are an intolerable security risk. A humane guest worker program would lessen border crossing deaths and would put the coyotes out of business. We could better control our social program outlays by ensuring guest workers' costs would be paid by their tax deductions. In addition, no amnesty. It rewards illegal activity. Instead, make the Immigration Service do their work and remove the application backlog so that those who wish to become citizens can do so in a timely manner. Of course, the usual suspects, asses, elephants, big business, ultra-libs, Catholic Church, etc., are against such a proposal due to their various concerns. I like it when he says asses and elephants. I think he means Democrats and Republicans. Maybe Congress should be shamed into considering such a package. Shame slash Congress equals oxymoron. Doug in Santa Cruz. Thank you, Doug in Santa Cruz. Now, let's see. Anything else? Well, Tony Wood sent something saying the commercial real estate tsunami book by a Santa Cruz author through KSCO.com. Shall we read that? Okay. It's a personal thing here. So it has to do with possible content of the radio station later on. So enough of that. MZ@KSCO.com is my email address. Shoot me an email anytime you want. 479-1080 is the phone number to call your favorite radio station. I wish the people who were on hold to comment on the dating, the idea about the online, not online, the radio dating thing, would give us a call back at 479-1080.
But MZ, what if you end up getting hooked up with a moose or something even worse?
I believe that everything happens or doesn't happen for a reason, Dave.
What do you mean?
If it's meant to be, it will happen.
So if you end up dating a horse,
if it's meant to be,
she brings a feed bag with her.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? Horses don't listen to the radio, and they certainly don't call the radio station.
It'd be hard to do with
the hoof. What you're saying makes no sense at all. Now, on the screen here, it says someone called him a hateful person. The him you're talking about is Population Pat.
Right, Population Pat. I think he started off as explaining that just because he mentioned that people have too many babies, it doesn't mean that he hates those people. It's just,
right.
I believe he said that, though. That was
all right. Now, I promised that I would read. I didn't promise. I intimated that I might reread the letter that I read at the top of the hour, last hour, for the benefit of the people.
Is that letter racist or is it just extremely hateful?
I don't think it's either, to be honest.
Really?
Now, I know you disagree.
Let's read it.
Someone stating an opinion. Dear unemployed Mexican baby maker, and this is written by someone named Loser. Thank you so much for coming to our job search center for help. I admire you for trying, and since I see you have 6 kids, 3 of them under 18, I guess you must be desperate. And gosh, looking at your info, I see you're just 35 years old. 3 grandkids already? Congratulations. Let me do the math here. If you're 35 and have 3 kids over 18, that must mean you started when you were 14? And that poor cow, your wife, who's a year younger than you but looks 10 years older. Nice to meet you, Senora. If only you had heard about birth control or self-control or whatever it is you people don't believe in. Actually, it's E-D-U-C-A-T-I-O-N that you don't believe in. I see that you have a 6th grade education. That's pretty good considering a lot of your buddies who come here made it to just 3rd or 4th grade. I've heard plenty of Mexicans say, I just want to work. But whenever I suggest going back to school or taking ESL, that's English as a Second Language, classes, I always get the same response. I'm too tired after work, or I'm too busy taking care of the kids. How about too lazy to improve your life? I've never met a group of people who openly despise the concept of education more than Mexicans. They think it's pointless. Well, I guess you know what matters most, how to make babies that we end up supporting. Nice to meet you. Good luck with your job search. Okay, now I've read it. For those of you who didn't hear it at the beginning of the program, now you've heard it. What do you think? Is that racist? Is it hateful? Is it, what is it? Give us a call.
Is it true?
Is it? Well, do you think it's true?
No, I don't.
47. I know you don't. 479-1080 in area 831. So the people were calling before, and now the lines are empty. I mean, it's just I'll never understand what makes our KSCO audience tick. I'll just never understand it. Anyhow, so it's 11:22, and here's a call. Here's another call. No, first call dropped off. Why do people call and then just hang up? They get cold feet. All right, I still haven't heard from anybody who has an iPhone 4. There must be someone in our vast KSCO audience who has put his or her mitts on it and can send us a report. And by the way, if you missed the June 4th pharmacist Ben Fuchs lecture at Seacliff Inn, we can arrange for you to hear it. It's not as good as if you would have been there, but you get to hear all the information anyhow. You'll get to see pharmacist Ben simply by going to ben.ksco.com. Okay? ben.ksco.com. Do not put www in front of the ben.ksco.com or it won't work. If you just type in ben.ksco.com, you will get to see a video of the entire, at least of part one. And if you want to see part two, send me an email. And I want to thank Dr. Future for filming that and doing a video of that and putting it up on the net. Also, Pharmacist Ben will be back on July 8th and 9th for talks in Santa Cruz and Salinas in that order. Thanks to Dave Allen, who's putting together an amazing different type of Pharmacist Ben production. Live free lecture at Pacific Cultural Center. That's at the corner of Seabright and Broadway in Santa Cruz. And you can call Dave at a phone number that I don't have, but I'll see if I can dig it up. He's also, we're going to be running promos between now and then. And it's not all that far away. It's it's 2 weeks from yesterday and 2 weeks from last Thursday. So yeah, if you haven't seen Ben Fuchs in action in person, it's amazing, and I know it sounds like a huge build up, but everybody I've talked to says that you didn't build it up enough, MZ. So here's Terry in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Saturday special, Terry. You're on the air.
Morning, MZ.
Hey,
that was a great show by Michael Olson this morning.
They're always great. What was it about? I didn't get to hear it.
Well, it was about recycling pig farm in Las Vegas. It was great. And I was really amazed because it was like the 680th show or something, he said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, well, yeah, Michael is very prolific. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. Now, I don't know if the reruns count. We have to ask him that, because every once in a while when he's on vacation, they throw on a rerun. I don't know if that counts as one of them or not. It probably does, because it is one. I suppose if you wanted to, you could just record one program and play it every week for 680 consecutive weeks, and you could still call it the 680th show.
Well, that's not why I was calling, but I just thought I'd mention that. Because
okay.
Other than this show, and of course your mother's commentary, that's my favorite.
Oh, okay.
I waited on here specifically to hear what you were talking about this earlier email or something that you received. And
it wasn't an email. It's a rant that I saw on Craigslist.
Oh, okay, rant. And,
yeah.
And what I thought when I heard that, because I was interested about listening to it, was that I think what was that there was a kind of an undertone of not racism, but anger, let's say. And I think that was addressed at... They were talking about not so much the race as the immigration problem. Mentioned a Mexican immigrant, and I think that's what was kind of unspoken in there was an illegal activity or status of at least presupposed of this person who was, you know, coming here as an immigrant and then having children and not being able to support them, being a burden.
Yes.
And that's what I would say I got from that.
Yes. So you don't think it's hateful or racist?
Well, I think it was addressing a reality.
Yeah.
And
so, but am I right? You don't consider that letter racist or hatred?
I think the way it was posed was was, I think that was, it was racial and hateful as both.
Oh, okay. Well,
this... No, I do think the way it was both. But I think that what that person was trying to address was a legitimate overpopulation problem, a legitimate illegal immigration problem that we can see right here in our community.
So you think he could have addressed that problem without being considered called racist or hatred by some people?
Absolutely, because I think as one looks at
it, just sort of the attitude you're talking about, huh?
Well, I think that we have a problem in this region with a lot of immigrants and financially.
Okay.
Because of a lot of children. Once an illegal immigrant or undocumented immigrant has a child here, that child's a citizen, so it's charged.
Well, that, they're talking about changing that, and I think that would be a good thing to do. What do you think?
No, I don't think it would be. I think what would be a good thing to do is have secure borders.
Well, that too. Definitely do that. That'll help to secure the border because it'll remove one of the greatest incentives for people to cross the border illegally.
Well, we don't have secure borders is not the real problem in our community. Our community, we have like the different policies that are enacted by our legislators, our leaders, to Arizona enacted a law. I guess they still might be oppressive of Latinos. And here we have laws that basically favor in the city of Santa Cruz, city of Washington. We have a formal sanctuary policy law, which
is a terrible thing. Don't you agree?
State and federal laws, as a matter of fact. But I guess there's some reasons I don't quite understand for that. But we have one in Washington, but not in the city of Santa Cruz.
Okay, Terry, we appreciate your call of the Saturday special. Keep listening, okay?
Yeah, thanks.
We'll see. Here's Marshall in Santa Cruz. Hey there, Marshall.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't say Santa Cruz. It says Santa Curse.
Must be because I had a couple drinks in it for breakfast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dave Michaels likes to have fun with the computer here.
I went to the Demystifying Anarchy meeting as more of a local issue at the Loudon Nelson Center.
Yeah.
And I kind of made some notes, and then I have one of their pamphlets that is Why I Support Santa Cruz Rioters.
Why do you support Santa Cruz Rioters?
I grabbed one of their pamphlets that said that. I just want to give you my opinion of what I thought about these people that were there.
Do it.
The Santa Cruz rioters and the anarchists.
Yeah.
They're not a widespread threat, but they are a threat to individuals that are middle class or above.
Uh-huh.
They'll attack you like overgrown chihuahuas. they'll bite you in the back when you have your back turned and then run away. Everything that they say is a contradiction. Is this making sense?
A little bit.
Okay, these people are not right in the head. They've been brainwashed, and they're UCSC students that think that everyone should be equal, including bums and criminals.
Hmm.
And the middle class and anything above should be, everyone should be equal. And crime is caused because people that don't have anything will rob. It's obvious to them that the people that don't have things will rob people that have things. And
everybody knows that.
It absolutely doesn't make any sense, nothing that they says. And none of them that I saw there were intimidating.
Right.
I mean, and they're all white, and they're for Mexican rights.
Okay.
And if they're against
So listen,
laws,
is this anarchist meeting that you attended, Marshall... Is this a regular event, or was this something special?
No, this was something special, and it was something about the Santa Cruz riots.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, well, listen.
The reason that they had the meeting was because they were trying to explain, what's the other title they have here?
I don't know.
The title was... demystifying anarchism.
Oh.
But it's still a mystery to me because they're against government, laws, middle class, and I'd like you to try to get this guy on the air for maybe a Saturday special, but I doubt you will. He has a radio show.
Uh-huh.
I won't say his name, but for 13 years he's hosted a local radio show. And he serves on the board of Santa Cruz Nonviolent Communication.
So all right, can you send me an email? Send me an email about that if you would, please, okay?
What's that?
Can you send me an email?
Oh, no, I'm broke. I don't have a computer right now.
About that. Okay. Well, if you can get the message to me somehow, I'd appreciate it. Thank you, Marshall. You take care. Here comes Scott in Boulder Creek. By the way, can you hear me okay, Dave? Am I okay? Hello? Well, maybe not. I don't know. But anyhow, Scott in Boulder Creek, you're on the air.
Thanks, Michael, I think.
Okay.
Michael, I thought that the letter was kind of sad that anybody could have such a miserable viewpoint as that. The anger, if people feel anger, it should be directed at the federal government for their policies. You know, Obama just... said that he will not enforce any immigration policies as far as detaining, arresting, deporting.
Yeah.
He just made an executive order. So, you know, they're trying, if we follow this path we're going, you know, there's going to be a race war. It's not the Mexicans, you know. It's the American government who are letting the Mexicans in to take the jobs, especially of blacks, you know. So that's very important. You know, and also, I couldn't agree more with his son. You know, without mothers, there would be nothing. None of us would be here. Absolutely.
Everybody
not.
Knows that.
So, you know, when Population Pat, and, you know, I agreed with what the first part of what Terry said about government, you know, is not a fact. Pat says it's a fact. It's an opinion that the Mexicans have too many children. It's an opinion that there are too many people in the world. Actually, it's a false rumor started by John D. Rockefeller III to make a name for himself, and it was given the scientific backing that global warming was back in the day before internet and people could catch on. It's a hoax. And, you know, as far as the borders, we need a humane program of jobs. And to secure the borders. That's what Colonel Terry said that I agree with. Absolutely, that's the solution.
Okay.
And if there are not too many people, Michael, we need to learn to use nuclear power safely and hydropower. You know, not burning coal. And we have to find a way to build dams so that we can drain the silt or build dams so the silt doesn't build up in there. But for the future, the world can support many, many more people with clean water and clean air. You know, Obama could have, you know, BP could have boomed that water or napalmed it from the beginning. There was no excuse. Obama went out of his way to cause as much environmental and economic catastrophe as possible. He even had berms torn down that would have protected the wetland. Oh, they didn't have, you know, permits to build them. I know there's a lot of people on, so I want to get off.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael.
Okay, there goes Scott in Boulder Creek. Okay, Nina in Capitola, excuse me, Nina in Capitola, regarding the letter.
Regarding what you read, it was disgusting. It definitely reeks of racism and hatred. Anyone that knows about racism would know that the root of it is the hate. So you're asking, you know, people, do you think it's racist or hateful? It's both, because it's one.
Okay.
And, you know, and you're asking, you're interested to know if you're racist, right?
I can't quite understand what you just said.
I think, you know, you sound like you're interested to know if people think you're racist.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, because I know that I'm not, but okay, what do you think?
You are, but you're in denial.
Okay. All right. I'm a racist. What is it?
I was going to support in one of your programs. I gave my name. My name must be on a wrong or a black list because I was bypassed for Dr. Wallach and when I wanted to sign up with them. And I also bypassed when I wanted to support one of your radio programs and pay money. And
who would do such a thing?
I don't know. I think maybe a radio station that's slightly biased on foreign names and people. Maybe I'm on
okay.
the list with you.
Okay, you're wrong, yeah. And we screwed up. If that really happened to you, will you give us another chance?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you use email?
Yes.
Will you send me an email, like right away, even before the end of the show, so I can answer you first thing when I'm done with the show?
Sure.
Okay. It's mz@ksco.com. Nina, thank you very much, and thanks. Thank you for bringing that up. I sometimes we screw up, and sometimes things fall through the cracks, and that shouldn't happen. I pride myself in answering as many emails. I don't get all that many emails. I get lots of spam emails, for sure. I get hundreds of them a day. But emails from people that are thoughtful and that want to help the radio station, I answer every single one of them.
Okay, thanks.
So thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye. Pete in Live Oak, you're on the air on KSCO.
Are we supposed to stick to any one particular subject, or can we bring up different subjects?
Well, it is against the law today, and if you stray from the topic of the letter, you will be arrested.
Okay. So the topic is
now, you want to talk about railroad acquisition. That's okay, I guess.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, this is something my pet peeve here is that it seems like the county and city are teaming together and forming the assumption that everybody wants to purchase this railroad right away for a huge sum of money, and the only reason we're doing it is because the state is going to give it to us through some loophole that they've collected money for just for transportation, and you have to purchase a railroad that can be used for transporting people. And we got this freight line here that has never been used for transporting people that we had. We were transporting people a long time ago, and the railroads gave it up because it wasn't profitable. And now these lines have been set up just specifically for freight. They don't pass through any big populated areas.
So that choo-choo track, you know, that goes through Live Oak. There's only one choo-choo track that goes through Santa
Cruz.
Right. So you know what I'm talking about. And by the way, I walk on that choo-choo track a lot. It's one of my favorite walks to go from La Selva Beach to Seascape and then back on the beach. It's a nice circle.
That's a good walk.
It's a wonderful walk, yeah. And I am horrified whenever I come to the La Selva Beach trestle because it is so rusted out that I'm concerned that my weight walking across the trestle might be all it takes to collapse the damn thing. Seriously. I mean, I shot a video. I shot a video with the iPhone of that, and I it's not on the ZBS Boss YouTube channel. I will put it up. You know, in fact, it's my duty to put it up because someone needs to be notified that's going to collapse. Maybe that's why they want the dopey county to buy it so that it becomes their problem, huh?
Absolutely. If the county wasn't getting this free money from the state, which is going broke, then the railroad would probably give the right of way to the county if the county agreed to maintain it so they could run their infrequent freight line.
Not worth it. Sort of like the federal government wanted to give KSCO a few years back the title to a diesel tank, an above ground diesel fuel tank that they put in. I said for free. Now they had just spent like $60,000 or $70,000 installing it on our property with my approval.
Yeah.
But they wanted me to, and they were going to give it to me as a gift. And I said, no, I'm hip to that old trick. I do not want to accept your kind gift because I know what the liability that I will be accepting.
There you go. You'd have
See, I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid. So
well, apparently the county is, and every board of supervisors, every member of the board of supervisors is on board with this. Just because we're getting free money from the state, you know, just because the state is giving us some type of a welfare check that we have to basically defraud the state out of, because we're claiming that this railroad line is for people, and that's the only reason we're getting the check in the first place.
Yeah, up here at KSCO North, there's a blatant example of government waste. That when I go on a walk up here, I go through a tunnel, and this tunnel had a more than adequately wide sidewalk that was raised from the roadbed, you know, probably raised 4 or 5 feet from the roadbed. Mm-hmm. And it was at least, you know, 4 feet wide. Well, they decided to make it 8 feet wide, and no one ever goes through the damn tunnel except me, and except for cars, you know. And I'm not that big that I needed to have the sidewalk widened, but they obviously had to burn up some money that was earmarked for that particular project.
Yeah.
It's so screwed up. It's so screwed up.
Yeah, I know. And now, I was reading the paper the other day that they're, you know, once we buy this railroad, and the only reason we're buying this railroad is so we can put bike and walking paths in the same right-of-way, that's going to cost a ton of money, because you have to protect the people that now have a formal right of way to walk on. So there's going to be a lot more traffic along the railroad track.
Oh, jeez, get me out of here!
And so now you got to keep people from getting run over by the trains. You got to keep people from putting things on the tracks to make sure that to see what the trains will do when they run over it.
Yeah.
You got to keep people from so you got to fence the people off from the tracks. And then now you're going to have a lot more people going up and down those. Some of those areas are fairly secluded on the railroad line.
Yeah.
They're going to be vulnerable to rapes and robbery and any muggings. And you're going to have buns living along the tracks because it's a lot more accessible. And so we're going to have to expand our police force to accommodate that.
Pete, do you have something nice to tell me today?
No, I'm at my wit's end. I can't
Pete,
see why
Pete,
the
calm down, okay?
Are going to spend all this money on?
Yeah, calm down. There's nothing you can
raise our taxes.
There's nothing you can do about it, Pete. I don't think there's anything we can do about it. So
we're doing it right now.
Well,
we're talking about it,
and we're getting people up in arms. Are we going to get them to riot in front of the Board of Supervisors and threaten death if they pass this? I doubt it.
The Board of Supervisors should know that if they vote for this, that we're not going to vote for them.
Oh, okay.
Because right. I mean, we're having enough trouble hiring one or two more policemen. This is going to take a whole new department to patrol those plants.
You're right. All right. Start a cause celeb.
Sales taxes. It's going to break the county, and I can't see why anybody is for this other than they're just naive.
Okay, thank you, Pete and Live Oak. You consider your cause celeb started right here on your favorite radio station at 11:45 and 59 seconds. SoCal Bob.
Hello.
What a pleasant surprise, SoCal Bob. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Very well, very well. Can you hear me?
Yes. Do you remember our conversation last week?
Yes.
Where I told you about Michael Olson's program last week.
Yes.
Did you happen to download and listen to it?
No, I didn't get a chance to. It's just
the best explanation on immigration I've ever heard.
Oh, okay. A week ago, not this morning.
Not today, a week ago.
All right. Yeah, thank you for reminding me, Bob.
Okay.
By the way, I did call you. Did you get my message?
Which one?
Well, the message that you didn't respond to.
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay.
What was it about?
Oh, it was about just call me.
Oh.
That's all. But anyhow, calling. I guess you're just calling now on the air. I was going to invite you to be a guest on the Saturday special. So that everybody could talk to you.
Anyway, I just wanted to remind you about Michael Olson's program a week ago, the best immigration.
All right, we will download that and put it up on featured podcasts on KSCO.com.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, Bob. Don't let your meatloaf. Okay, here's Mad Mike.
Hey, Mad Mike, it was really cool for you to call and rescue me from that that horrible radio program yesterday. You turned it into a good last week. You turned it into a good one.
Oh, great! I've heard three things that sparked my interest. The last caller about the rail thing. I'm for the rail trail, but not in the times of austerity measures. You know, they're going to take. They have Metro. They're going to cut back on services on Metro. They laying off people. They're going to balance the budget on the backs of the poor, the seniors, the needy, and they can use this money to deal with that and stuff like that. And on illegal immigrants, my grandmother's in Choctaw Cherokee Indian, my grandfather's Mexican, and they had 13 kids. It's rare to find any Hispanic family with just one or two kids. I mean, they're like baby factories, mainly. They have too many kids, like Octomom, and then the society ends up having to support them, take care of them, and stuff because they're overwhelmed by too many kids. And on the situation of illegal, on homeless stuff, there's a sleep protest at the courthouse on July 4th. We have Ed Fry, who's running against Sam Farr, who's going to sponsor that, and we're having a protest about homelessness and stuff like that. And it was interesting finding a newspaper that to United Farm Workers Unions or something like that said inviting regular Americans to come take the jobs of the farm workers if they want. You know, you want to make some money, you have an economic hard time and stuff like that, and why not just do some backbreaking work? Yeah, I'm for that. That's cool. I thought that was cool that there's a lot of people out of work and they need help. And I used to work on farms. It ain't that good. You get the first week or two, I mean, you're worn out, tired, back-breaking work. But
it becomes good for your soul, huh?
Yeah, you get used to it. You get used to it, and pretty soon you'll be able to deal with it. I mean, it ain't like like you were a Hebrew slave or something like that, building the pyramids for Egypt or something like that.
Do you think even I could get used to it?
Oh, yeah, anybody. I know some people in their 50s, 60s, gardening, landscaping, and doing a lot of the farm workers, middle-age or something like that. It ain't that labor intensive. If you got a bad back, I wouldn't advise it. But you know, sooner or later your back will get stronger and you'll get used to it and stuff like that. And it's an income. You know, you can't work in Silicon Valley anymore. You're about to get your house foreclosed. They're gonna take away your car. You're gonna end up probably being homeless. Why not work in the field and earn a decent living and doing something productive?
And you will earn a decent living.
Yeah, I think the person he was talking about was Robert Norris on free radio.
I was afraid that he might have been talking. Yeah, I hate giving free spots to illegal radio stations.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's been spinning his wheels for years on this homeless issue, and the man's a millionaire. If he really wanted to do something, he could spend 1/64th of his money and open up a center or something.
Do you know for sure that the man's a millionaire?
He got about $10 million in bank. His father left it to him. Wait a minute.
You don't know this.
I know this for a fact. I proposed to him. I'm giving to get some vet money pretty soon. I'm probably going to have back pay up to about $1.3 million. And I proposed to him. I said, hey, I'll take half my money as seed money to start some project up like that homeless people can have access to services 24 hours a day, not just from 9 to 5, because some people's schedule are not attuned to 9 to 5.
You know how things get blown out of proportion, you know? I mean, I've heard the man's very articulate, and I've heard that he's got money, but, you know, how can anybody verify that?
And I know this for a fact.
And it's none of your business and none of my business and none of the KSCO audience's business.
That's right, whatever you want to do with his money. But if you work at 15, 20, 30 years on some cause that you feel dear, like, say, breast cancer, and you had money, but you could probably donate something and make a significant difference toward ending breast cancer, wouldn't you do it? I mean, what the hell? What are you waiting for? For everybody else to donate $1? I don't know what the man's trip is. I've known him for years. He's going by everything the wrong way.
Do you think you are going to get that back pay of over $1 million?
Yeah, because the military sort of drove me nuts. I tried to commit suicide while I was in the military, and I couldn't take it anymore, and I went AWOL for 3.5 years. That's why I got this problem. But they're going to... And even if they don't, I have some other projects. I'm not going to stay poor all my life. I'm now that I'm off of drugs and alcohol, I can see clearly. I can focus. I can get my ducks in a row. And I'm trying to do something to end homelessness and, right. Do something constructive instead of spinning my wheels day after day, year after year. Some of these people, like Robert Norris, never spend a single day in the streets homeless and like that. They sleep in cozy beds with pillows, got toilets and all that, and work in plumbing. I have my girlfriend who's never been homeless. I took her to my camp one time. I said, you see my campus, how clean it was and as functional and everything. She said, yeah, but it's not what I considered a camp. I said, you have to have lawn chairs, a Coleman lanterns. I said, you live in some...
Well, anyhow, I don't know about any of what you're saying, and we can't put that out without saying that that's your opinion. It's not a fact. I mean, it's not necessarily
a fact. It's a fact.
Anyway,
okay. What I'm trying to say is that we could spend some... take that real money. Buy the rail later. Need to take that rail money and make up for all these services that's going to be cut, like senior citizen meals on wheels, things you know for the poor, the homeless, the people who need help. And they're going to just every time some austerity measures come in, first thing they do is cut education for the poor, the homeless, the seniors, stuff like that. And they got these boondoggle projects they doing around the city is going around doing all kinds of little art projects and stuff like that. They're putting up these art sculptures designed to keep people...
And what do you think about the art center with the old Salt's Tannery property?
I thought that was a great idea, but, I mean, yeah, that's a good idea. It gives the artsy folks something. But they could have... I'm going to say they shouldn't have just turned that over to the homeless or something like that, but it could have made it some transitional housing or something like
sure.
that. Most of these artsy people... that I know, they got money. They, some of them well off, or they got mommy and daddy. I know one of them got mommy and daddy taking care of him while he's painting all these stupid pictures that are never going to... Maybe when he dies, he's going to make some money, like all artists.
Well, we'll see.
It's not... I mean, to me, art and all this stuff is... it's okay when the times are, you know, when it's wine and cheese time. But right now, it's water and crackers time. Everybody's
right.
cutting back and stuff like that. And just focus on people who really need help. Not these artsy, rich little... spoiled little brats who never picked any lettuce or did anything in their damn life and got no calluses on their hands.
Mike, I can't, I have to agree with you. That sounds good.
Thank you.
Last part. I don't know about the other stuff. That's an opinion, but we'll see. Anyhow, appreciate your call.
Thank you.
You take care. Yeah. Nina, wait a minute. We'll take Nina, and then we got to do the commercials. Hi, Nina.
I just wanted to know your email address again, please.
Oh, it's MZ... at KS, as in Sam, C as in Charlie, O as in Oscar, like the radio station you're listening to.
.com on that.
MZ at KSCO.com.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. There goes Nina. Nina has offered, apparently, to support us, sponsor us, you know, and has been ignored, apparently. Oh, my God. How could that happen? We got to fix that right away. No other callers, I guess, but that's okay because we got to do the... We got to do the commercial break, don't we, Dave?
Yeah, it's about okay. time for that.
All right. So this will probably take us to almost the end of the show, if not the end of the show. You've done a wonderful job, as always. Thank you so much for your bright and cheery personality.
You're welcome, sir.
And we'll see you next week. And if there's any time after the commercials, I'll come back and say nice, nice to the audience.
All right.
This wet winter is adding tons of brush to your property's wildfire fuel load. Now for some good news from Bruce McCampbell of Turnpike Development. Turnpike's Hydro Axe Mulching Service can turn your weeds and brush into soil-conserving mulch just like that. And brush mulching is good for your soil, good for preventing fires, and good for preventing erosion. Don't wait until it's too late. Pick up your phone and call for Turnpike's Hydro Axe. The Hydro Axe will shred and mulch your coyote brush, manzanita, and poison oak choked acreage and clear your fire breaks faster than you can say lickety-split. Turnpike Development can also handle all your excavation, septic, drainage, and utility needs. Turn your fire hazard into a soil-conserving mulch. Call Turnpike Development today for fast, safe, and cost-effective brush clearing. That's Turnpike Development, 831-818-1712. 818-1712 or turnpikedevelopment.com. That's turnpikedevelopment.com.
You might not be able to say it very easily. Apiary, that's what she said to me. Let me just tell you something about the rest. If you're into bees and beeswax, then you're into Pacific Crest.
Here's a sweet tip. Find the lowest prices on the best local honey, pure beeswax candles, and awesome gifts for any occasion at Pacific Crest Apiary's Honey Farm and Gift Store. Hi, I'm Dana Mum. Ed and I invite you up to the farm for a taste of sweetness and a great family adventure. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos and are open most days, but sometimes take a day off. So best check in at 688-0508 or log on to PacificCrestApiaries.com. Buzz up and be happy.
Proud member of Think Local First.
It's wax back for me. Pacific Crest.
Pacific Crest.
Apiary.
Oh, how sweet.
Pharmacist Ben here, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for making my last visit to the KSCO area a standing room only success. Such a success that by popular demand, I'll be back in KSCO country on July 8th at 7 p.m. And this time, I'll be at the Pacific Cultural Center at 1307 Seabright Avenue, Santa Cruz, in a bigger and more comfortable room. So let me personally invite you and anyone else you'd like to bring along with you to this absolutely free and very fun and informative event. And there'll be free samples of a special Pollen Burst Goddess Juice along with absolutely free reservations. I'll be demonstrating and explaining how mind, spirit, and body must all work together to maintain optimal health. This special presentation will take place at 7 p.m. at the Pacific Cultural Center at 1307 Seabright Avenue in Santa Cruz. There's free and unlimited parking throughout this clean and safe neighborhood. Please call 831-427-5500. That's 831-427-5500. And let us know how many seats to save for your free reservation.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Aromas, the Carmel Highlands, and Paraiso Springs.
Hey, Dave, are we in sync here? It's 11:58 and 52, 53, 54.
Right on the dot.
Cool, yeah, because my atomic clock doesn't seem that it's connected to the atomic clock machine. But anyhow, I guess we're okay. All right, well, that's it. Thanks again for doing a great program. Thanks to all the callers. And I'm even going to thank the listeners, because without listeners, what the hell good is your favorite radio station without listeners? Yeah. And I'm not talking about Bob Listener and Doreen Listener. I'm talking about listeners. I mean, you know, not listeners, listeners. By the way, the Ben Fuchs thing, Marcia sent me an email saying that it's not working, ben.ksco.com. Give it another few more hours, because I just set it up this morning, and maybe sometimes it goes in 5 or 10 minutes, and sometimes it takes, you know, 6 or 8 hours or something like that. But if you want to hear the Ben Fuchs lecture video, see the video. It's great. That you missed on June 4th, send me an email, mz@ksco.com, if ben.ksco.com doesn't work for you. Anyhow, that's it for today. See you next week. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's Fox News.
Global economics this afternoon. Let's go live to Canada and Fox News Radio's Mike Makowicz.
The president resumes an argument he failed to win in the G8 summit, whether government stimulus spending should continue. That will now be before the G20 leaders, who have started their summit. A number of countries are calling for debt reduction, but Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner warns other nations not to
step back too quickly on the hope that it's over.
Meanwhile, at the G8 this morning, the leaders discussed national, or rather global, security issues, condemning the sinking of a South Korean warship blamed on North Korea, scolding Iran over its nuclear program, and their communique called the situation in Gaza unsustainable. Karen?
Mike, thank you. Cue the vuvuzelas. The U.S. is trying to be Ghana in the World Cup right now. Let's go live to South Africa and Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley.
Karen, Ghana scored the first goal within the first 5 minutes. The score now standing at 1-0, heading towards halftime. The U.S. must win this match to move on to the quarterfinals. They lost 4 years ago to the same team, but say this time they're determined to win it. Cheering USA fans decked out in red, white, and blue, filling the stadium alongside fans for Ghana, the only African country left in the tournament. The winner will play Uruguay, who just beat South Korea 2-1. Karen?
Courtney, thanks. The first tropical storm in the 2010 Atlantic hurricane season is Alex. Right now, that storm is threatening the Yucatan Peninsula and is not expected to threaten the oil-soaked Gulf. If a tropical storm does hit the Gulf area, it is going to have a major effect on containment and cleanup efforts, and that could stall the effort to get the oil out of the water. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The Willis Report is on. Smart, trusted, and on point. Jerry Willis gives it to you straight.
It's not what we were promised, not by a long shot. Certainly, I think people are going to be keeping an eye on this.
Investigating top business stories, outing corporate scams, and policing D.C. policy.
I wish the Congress would feel the obligation to actually explain it to us.
Jerry Willis, uncovering the real stories behind the business headlines.
It's going to be shocking.
Check in with the Willis Report on the Fox Business Network.
The one show with the knowledge, experience, and political insight you can count on.
The public is truly alarmed about it.
Britt Hume covers Washington like no one else. It's just one of the reasons why The Factor rules.
Every primary, every crucial event, this summer, Fox Business covers it best. Smart, sharp, on the money, as it all unfolds. No one covers the business of politics like Cavuto. For powerful political coverage, stay with Fox Business Network.
Former Vice President Dick Cheney is expected to spend the rest of the weekend in the hospital. He was admitted for testing yesterday after complaining of discomfort. He has had 5 heart attacks. Former Vice President Al Gore finding himself in the middle of a sex scandal after a female masseuse accused him of sexually assaulting her in a hotel room 4 years ago.
That woman goes on to call Gore a sex-crazed poodle. But interestingly, her name is being withheld. Investigators also say this woman and her lawyer canceled several appointments with detectives to be questioned about this alleged incident. Portland police say they never found enough evidence to charge Mr. Gore with any crime.
That's Fox's Casey Stegall reporting. Another shot in the controversy over Arizona's illegal immigration law.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer says a lot of the illegal immigrants enter the United States looking for work, but the drug rings press them into duty as drug mules.
The majority of them, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of law enforcement, is that they're not coming here to work.